Good morning, everybody. Oh, that's blessing. Yes. It's great to be here this morning, and it's lovely to see you all here this morning. It's lovely for us to be all together here this morning to worship God. We're going to begin with, I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart.
God's call to us to be extravagantly generous too. So we're going to begin at this point at the very heart of stewardship. God's extravagant, generous love to us. And as we sing, God is love, let heaven adore him. And we're using not the set trend, we're using a different trend because my hope is that we will be filled with joy as we remember God's love. So it's a joyful tune. Let's sing it together.
Oh,
Will you pray with me? Generous God, you made us in your image. You breathed into us a spirit of generosity that is both gift from you and response from us. Move us, we pray, to give as we have received, abundantly, generously, joyfully, that our lives may bear witness to your unfailing grace. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Now, just a reminder that in the prayer of confession there's a response. So it will be up on the screen. But when I say, forgive us, O God, your response is, forgive us and change us, we pray. Let's pray together. Gracious God, you have blessed us again and again and again. And we hear you call us to share all that we have received from your hands. Our time, our gifts, our skills, our money, our knowledge, our love, with the same extravagant generosity. Oh God, you have given us the gift of time. You give us time to serve, time to learn, time to grow, time to share, time to be with you. But again and again, we spend your gift of time selfishly. We fritter it away. Forgive us, O God.
Forgive us and change us, we pray.
O God, you provide us with opportunities to use the talents and abilities that we have been given. But we hide our gifts. Or we use them to serve ourselves instead of serving you and your world and others. Forgive us, O God.
Forgive us and change us, we pray.
O God, you have provided us with greater financial resources than most of the world's population even dream of. But again and again, we resist sharing because we are afraid for the future. Or we buy things we don't need, or sometimes even use. Forgive us, O God.
Forgive us and change us, we pray.
O God, the beauties are an amazing gift from you, a gift to us. But so often we take it for granted and abuse this incredible earth. Forgive us, O God.
Forgive us and change us, we pray.
In the name of Jesus Christ, your greatest gift to us. Amen. You know, God forgives us with the same extravagant generosity with which God loves. That's the great good news today and every day. In the name of Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Let's take this opportunity to pass the peace. The peace of the Lord be with each and every one of you.
And also with you.
Share that good news.
Just
Thursday's Anzac Day, and it will be marked with dawn services and with parades and with crowds in the street and with groups of veterans gathering with their mates. So today, let us take the time to remember. We remember that Anzac Day is a time to honour the past and a call to recommit ourselves to working for justice and peace in the world today and tomorrow. Each day at Anzac Day, we pause our everyday lives to honour our veterans, to remember with gratitude their heroism and the price they paid, and many are still paying for our freedom so that we might be free. We take time to remember and grieve the loss of young lives on the beaches of Gallipoli, the Somme, Kokoda, Milne Bay, Longtan, and many, many other battles right up to the present day in Afghanistan and in the Middle East. We take time to remember and grieve with those experiencing combat stress or having difficulty finding a place in society on their return from active service. And as we honour for their sacrifice, the veterans of past wars, as we remember those who died and those who suffered injury and disability, in the midst of a conflicted world right now, we pray that future generations will find better ways of dealing with international tensions and with tensions within country, so that young men and women will no longer be called on to make such sacrifices. We pray that our children and our grandchildren and their children and their children may find ways to work together to create a world of peace. Because the world needs peacemakers now with courage and vision to bring peace where there is conflict and war right this minute around our world. And the world needs governments that will lead their people wisely, who will bring an end to conflict and maintain peace in our time and all times, starting here, starting now. For all of this, please continue to pray today and on Thursday and long, long after that. Will you pray with me now? Lord God, healer of memories, we remember all those who have died in war and their families who live on after them. We remember before you all veterans of war who live day to day with their injuries. And those who are struggling with or have struggled with their memories of the horrors of war. May they, O God, know the comfort and peace of your presence as they seek to find meaning in their experiences. We pray for all situations of conflict and war in the world and in our country. And we pray, O God, that there will be just resolution between people and between nations. Will you, O God, bring peace to your world? We pray for defence personnel who are or may be deployed overseas at this time, for their families who worry and miss them, for the decisions that are being made politically which influence their lives. Be with them all, O God, and bless them with your peace and the knowledge that you are present and understand their circumstances. today, as we look towards Thursday and remember war and what it has cost so many people, oh God, we pray that you will bless your world with shalom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
A reading from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." For the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So you know that as a congregation we have set aside 4 weeks to explore stewardship together. Last Sunday was stewardship episode 1. Because I know that for several different reasons many of you couldn't be here last week to hear episode 1 of the stewardship series, I'm going to begin today by setting aside a couple of minutes to recall the story so far. You know when you watch something on television, you know how they begin with that story so far? That's this. Today I know... Sorry. As Christians responsible for what we choose to do with all that God has entrusted to us. And we can have, can we have that definition of stewardship? Yeah. Our talent, our time, our money, our health, our relationships, and everything else that is part of life. I can't quite see that because I'm looking through the wrong bit of my glasses, but I'm encouraging you to read it now rather than having me read it to you. Because that's what stewardship means. We are stewards of all the resources, abilities and opportunities that God gives us. In fact, stewardship affects every part of our lives, right down to the decisions and choices, to all the decisions and choices we make every single day. So that's stewardship in a nutshell. The other key words from last Sunday are these: extravagant generosity. And I defined both generosity and extravagant generosity so you would see that they're not quite the same. So generosity is giving or sharing more than is necessary or expected. Giving, you know, people a surprise. Oh, that's more. That's generous. If you can think back to your children, they asked for $5, you said to go somewhere, you say, "Here, have 10. That's generosity. I don't know if you ever did that. Extravagant generosity is so very much more. It's extravagant generosity is enthusiastic, sacrificial, joyful giving or sharing that exceeds all expectations. someone asks you for something small, someone asks to borrow something little, and you say, "No, I have a whole lot. Have a lot," because that's extravagant generosity. A whole lot. Those words, extravagant generosity, are the foundation on which the whole concept of Christian stewardship rests. Stewardship begins with who God is, and extravagant, generous love is the heart of who God is. And we looked at Psalm 136 because it tells us a lot of times, 26 times, but we didn't look at every time, we only looked at some of them, that God's steadfast love is the constant in all God's history with God's people. And then we looked at Jesus and said that in Jesus, saw that in Jesus we see God's extravagant, generous love perfectly revealed. Love is at the very heart of who God is. God is love. And then we said, well, how can we respond to that? God's extravagant love. And we talked about my heart to God's heart. And if you look on the board over there, last Sunday there were a few of the more than 700 Bible references to God's love. I think God wanted us to know that God loves us if it's in the Bible more than 700 times. And the hearts that are on there are the heart responses each of us placed on the board during the service. So that's the end of last week. That's where we got to. That first board, last Sunday, was extravagant generosity, the heart of God. Today we're exploring extravagant generosity of giving. Or the heart of stewardship. As I said, the Bible reminds us that God loves us. How many times was that? More than 700 times. But it talks about giving, us giving. 2,000, I'm going to give you the exact number, 2,162 times. Now, I did not go through my Bible and find that. I'm trusting the word of somebody that I trust. That is so. And you can go and check it for yourself if you would like to. There is story after story after story of extravagant generosity of giving. There are words from God and from God's leaders, God's priests and God's prophets and God's kings about being extravagant and generous. And when we come right down to it, giving is a recurrent theme in Jesus' parables, in the stories about the early church, and in the stories about Jesus in the Gospels, the ones that the Gospel writers have chosen to include in their Gospels. And that brings us to Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus just wanted to get a glimpse of Jesus. He'd heard about him, he just wanted to see him for himself. But Jesus gave Zacchaeus so much more. Jesus gave Zacchaeus his full attention. He went to Zacchaeus' home. They talked together. You know what? We have no idea what they talked about, and I don't think that the Gospel writer would be able to tell us, because that was between Zacchaeus and Jesus. But whatever it was that they talked about, it changed Zacchaeus' life. It transformed him. His response to Jesus' extravagant generosity to him, and just remember while we're saying this, that no one else thought Zacchaeus deserved any of Jesus' time and attention. Jesus was the only one who did that, who thought that. His response, when Jesus gave him time and attention, was extravagant generosity. He gave half of everything he owned to the poor, and he paid back four times over anyone he had ever cheated. And when he did that, Jesus affirmed him as a redeemed son of Abraham, a child of God. That is how significant Jesus sees this extravagant, life-changing, joyous response that Zacchaeus made to him, to God. And you know that there are so many more stories. I just plucked that one out because I thought it was, we don't hear about Zacchaeus very much, and it's time we did. But there's the woman who, uninvited and unexpected, poured perfume oil all over Jesus' feet at a feast in a rich man's house. That story is in all four Gospels. So all the Gospel writers thought that was significant. And that story shows us, the reader, a response to Jesus that is absolutely heartfelt, extravagant generosity, way over the top of anything that anyone could have expected. Or Jesus, the Samaritan was the enemy. Everyone who was listening to Jesus' story was sure that he would ignore the injured man, like those who had gone before, or worse. But whose response, Jesus said, was extravagant generosity, even to the enemy, the Samaritan, the one that Jews absolutely would have avoided and had nothing to do. And I know you can find more. I'm pretty sure there are stories running through your head now. But just these three stories make a point. Extravagant generosity is a right response to God in Jesus Christ. Extravagant generosity is a value, a Christian value, for us to live by. Matthew's Gospel tells us that Jesus said to the crowd to the crowd in the Sermon on the Mount, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go instead a second mile. Give to everyone who begs from you. That's extravagant generosity, over the top, more than expected, way more than expected. And Luke's Gospel, as well as Matthew's, in slightly different words, tells us that Jesus said, if anyone takes your coat, give him your shirt as well. Give him your shirt. And then there is story after story after story about the early church, the first generation of Christians, giving with extravagant generosity to the poor and the widows in their community, and giving to the mission of the church in other places, not their little Christian community, but other little Christian communities who were living in hard times. Often it happened through the Apostle Paul, and so we hear in Paul's letters his thanks and his encouragement for them to do that. We, here today, give in very different ways, but the principle of extravagant generosity as a response to God still stands. We give with extravagant generosity when we do what we all see. I call them the jobs around the house, the things that keep the house running. The everyday things like, you know, if it was your home, it's cleaning up after dinner and the washing up and doing the washing and cleaning the floors and the windows and all of that. In the church, the things that need to be done regularly, we do through or the rosters that that we see every Sunday when people share in worship, those rosters. Or the cooking that you do when there's a funeral or some other function. Or helping out with Refreshed. Or being on the church council. Or music. All of those. Like the everyday things that keep us running. Keep us operating together. Or we do the one-off things that we also do as part of the family, the congregation. Helping with outbursts. Giving a helping hand or a listening ear to other congregation members. Giving them your time and your love and your prayers and your attention. The things that you do from time to time. When my mum died, and that was a long time ago, I had four small children. And because my mum didn't want to go to hospital, I moved into her home and I stayed with her for the last 6 weeks of her life. My husband, because he could do flexi time, did the breakfast and the school lunches and took the children to work. At the end of school, I had people who picked my children up after school and delivered them to my mum's house. Other people made us a family meal every night for that 6 weeks. Just delivered it so we didn't have to worry about it. I have to say my children said, not peas again, but I really appreciated it. That's what I mean when I talk about what you do, the extravagant generosity of what you do when you're part of the family. One member of that congregation was a nurse, and towards the end of my mum's life, she came and gave my mum morphine injections and taught me how to do it too, so that still my mother could stay home, because that's really what she wanted to do. That's extravagant generosity. And then there's what you do that we don't see, because you don't do it here. And I'm thinking about Grace and her Braille translation, and Catherine, who did that too. I know people who teach ESL, English as a Second Language. The way that you volunteer in a whole lot of different ways. The way that you quietly help a neighbour or friend. Just being there for them. Or a stranger. The way that you help just a person who's got some need and you see it and you respond with extravagant generosity. That could be a very long list. I'm not going to go through it all. We are stewards of all that God has given us. And all of this, our giving of our gifts and our skills, our time and our energy, was never meant to be something that we do because we feel obliged to do it. Or because it's our duty. Or because we've been guilted into it. These are our responses to God, who has loved us and blessed us with extravagant generosity. These are all opportunities for us to say, God, you have given so much to me. Can I give this to you through what I do for others, for this congregation? The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, Gemma, have we got it? Lovely, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, and this is the key, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will discern what is the will of God. And we come back to what's on the screen. So that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable and perfect. Worshipping God with our whole lives, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, means giving everything to God. Time, energy, talents, gifts, opportunity, money, love. And that's what Paul is saying to us right there. Paul is telling us that is our right response to God in Jesus Christ. And if you're giving a big sigh and feeling a bit daunted by that because it seems a lot, let's just take a moment and a deep breath to think about what it might mean for me and for you, for each of you. Think about it. You are God. Every part of you is God. You are stewards taking care of all that is God's. You're taking care of it all for God. So the question then is, what does God expect you to do with it? How is God calling you to responsibly use everything that you are? Using your time, your energy, your gifts and talents to do the jobs around the house in your church family. Using your time, your energy, your gifts and your talents to be family to others. Using them at home with your own family. Using them in your workplace. Using them in the wider community. Right now, is there an opportunity for you to do something new and different? Might that opportunity be an opportunity from God? I think the big question is, what is the balance God wants you to strike in your life? Because we sometimes think, you know, give everything to God, that means, oh, I neglect my family and I neglect a whole lot of, I don't even care for myself. Your health is a gift from God. And God doesn't want you to neglect that either. So I'm not talking about absolutely nothing for, you know, I just don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. It's all God's and God wants you to use it. And God wants you to listen to God and what God is saying. Because it's important to think about the balance that God wants you to strike in your life. God might be saying to you, stop doing something to make time and energy to do something else. Or do something you've never done before. Or keep on doing what you're already doing because that's exactly what I want you to do. So this is a big question. What does extravagant generosity as your response to God look like right now in your life? I'm challenging you this week to go away and seek that balance. If you believe that God wants you to do something in worship here, music or readings or prayers or morning teas or go on the worship roster. Well, I already said morning teas, but help with morning teas, go on the roster. Do the PowerPoint, go on the roster. Work at Refreshed, see Jenny. She'd be happy about that. Take on a leadership role that you've never taken before. See me or see Wendy. Or is it something right outside these jobs around the house in this church community? What God is saying to you. And act on it. We're going to take just a little quiet time now to listen to God. What is God saying to you about all of this right now. You've got that hand that you were given as you came in the door. As you sit in quietness and listen to God, write on the hand what you think, what you hear God say. There'll be a time later in the service to pin it on the second board, extravagant generosity, the heart of giving. But we're thinking about your hand reaching out to God in response to God's extravagant generosity to you. Your hand in God's hand. Take a moment. Don't leave it at that. There's a lot that God might turn your attention towards when you've had more time to reflect and to pray, and you are more sure of what God wants of you. Not just here in this congregation, but in the whole of your life. Amen. As the offering is received, we will sing, Lord of Creation, to you be all praise. Will you remain standing at the end of this hymn? Coming out to do a little bit more in the way of announcements, but I just have one thing to say to you. I'm sure you've seen in the notices that the church council has decided to take some time to reflect on our Sunday worship services. So if you're on a worship roster, this is your invitation to come together with the church council on Thursday, May the 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The invitation is to bring your lunch, and over lunch we can look together at how we plan and prepare worship together. Because we want our worship to be the best it can be as our gift to God. So this is an opportunity, our opportunity, to really think about how we do that, so that our worship does honour God. I already have some suggestions about how we can do that together that I'll share with you. So, and then we'll look at we'll just look at the whole shape of our worship and say we could give it a tweak here or a tweak there. So I'm encouraging you to please make this a priority. Thursday, May the 2nd, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Bring your lunch and there will be tea and coffee provided. Thanks, Dawn.
Welcome to everyone here today. And the announcements can be very brief today, as with our focus on reflecting on stewardship, we're just taking a little break this week. The other general activities, of course, will be on, but we have nothing really major, and that's a change after March and April. The Music Lovers had a very successful morning last Thursday with a beautiful program and a good audience as well. So those of you who usually go to the regular activities, you know the times of them, but we are starting to prepare now on focusing on Artburst. Jenny is really keen on making the refreshed plant stall an even bigger and better success than last year. So right now is the time to start planting cuttings and having them ready to sell. And that's why we're giving you a lot of weeks of warning, because seeds take time to grow and so do cuttings, don't they? And see Jenny if you need pots or spare pots or even potting mix. Maybe? Well, talk to Jenny if you need any assistance. And if anyone has some attractive bottles, you know, the kinds with the fairly large base and then a narrow neck, I have some happy plants that are already growing that would sell much better if they were in one of those nice bottles instead of a peanut paste jar, which is where they are at the moment. So please let me know if you have one of those to spare. And so, maybe this week you might have time to phone some of our people who can no longer be with us in regular services, and or even go and see them. And we have quite a few at different places around the local suburbs. So the main message for today is to make time for prayer and reflection this week, with Anzac Day bringing home the plight of people caught up in wars, and also the congregation at Pacifern, who are making some big decisions about joining their congregations at the moment, and ourselves, because we're here on the verge of new developments and new horizons too. Thank you.
Let us pray. Generous God, we gather in joy to worship you today with thanksgiving and praise, for we know that all gifts we receive come from you, and we wish to place our lives anew into your loving hands. May your Holy Spirit surround and dwell in this congregation, now and always. Lord of peace, our world is full of hurting people and nations torn apart by war, violence and disasters. As we celebrate Anzac Day this week, we see much of the horrors of war on our television sets and are appalled that there are millions of people, too many to count, living through unbearably hard conditions, and we feel so helpless. In deep sorrow, we prayerfully seek your protection for all those facing unspeakable loss and profound emotional and physical challenges. We pray for humanitarian aid workers to swiftly reach these people who are terrorized, wounded, ill, and facing severe food insecurity. We pray for peace and comfort for those who grieve in the wake of very different but equally tragic knife attacks in Sydney, memories of those who actually witnessed these attacks. Loving God, we pray for all those who entrust to our care. We pray for our families and our friends, for those who must depend on others for their welfare, for those with constant responsibility of care for others. We pray for all in need of your comfort and balm, for all who are lost, lonely and confused. We pray for the sick and for the dying and for all who provide medical care, for the social workers and for pastoral carers. And we pray, Lord, for the progress of our mission here at Kenmore Uniting Church, and seek your guidance to help in the tasks to which you are calling us. Give us courage to experiment and to move forwards. Grant us also, Lord, the insight to discern your will for our future worship services, to ensure a worthy offering to you. We give thanks, Lord, for Reverend Jan, who has been leading and praying with us these past months. And now we pray and look forward to the arrival of the new minister you have prepared and are calling to our church. Help us to bring consolation to all who suffer and the assurance that in sorrow and in pain, you will never abandon them. We offer these prayers in the name of Jesus and say together our Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
So we're going to sing now, O Thou Who Camest From Above. Would you take time during the singing of this hymn to pin your hands on the board? And to have a little look at what's there, the things that are part of what we do as a congregation, and the question mark are all the other things that you do that we don't know about. But come forward and pin your hands on the board as we sing. Please stand. O Thou Who Camest From Above. Say it again. Everything that you have and everything that you are is a gift from God. Because sometimes we need to hear things a lot for them to truly sink in. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you as you go into the world to share the gifts that you have been given with the same extravagant generosity that God has shown you. Amen.